So my name's Philip. Some of you have been here for some of my previous sessions. You haven't got the opportunity to go and learn about trout fishing tonight, unfortunately, because Mark isn't talking at the same time as me. I spent today working on insects as food, not food for me, but food for trout up on various places in Railroad Creek all the way up to Heart Lake. Insects constitute the food of many. Come on in, all the way through. Walk past me if you want to sit over here. Don't be embarrassed. Just roll on in. Insects constitute the food of huge numbers of species in the animal kingdom. All the swallows flying around here are eating insects. Every time you go trout fishing, you're trying to mimic that trout looking for an insect, although one of them had a huge salamander in its gut. And in many countries of the world, insects are a very critical nutritional source for human beings. Let's ask how many of you in the room have ever eaten an insect, tasted an insect? Why don't you stand up so we can actually see the numbers? All right, stay standing. Now, anybody who has eaten shrimp, lobster, crab, anything like that, please stand up. I want you all to know that shrimp, lobster, and crab are just, in my opinion, aquatic insects. So forget about saying yuck when you look at this video. Just think that really they're just tiny little shrimp. And from an evolutionary point of view, the aquatic crustaceans and the trilobites and so on came before insects, and insects crawled out onto land, and then they became insects and dominated the land. Come on in. Okay. So I'm going to start with a video which comes from Taiwan, and then we'll go into the rest of the presentation. Feel free to ask questions at any time. No question is a dumb question. Unfortunately, I'll answer the first question right up front. I don't have samples for anybody. I'm sorry. If I do this again, I'll try and get samples, but it's really, really, really hard. Okay. Let's go to our video. It was working.
It's hard to believe, but eating insects and worms is all the rage in Taiwan these days. Diners cough up a pretty penny for gourmet and organic dishes full of night crawlers, served with a side of aunt fried rice. Let's take a look.
Finding bugs in your food might not always be a disgusting thing. Taiwanese city dwellers are heading for the countryside these days to savor dishes like aunt fried rice, deep fried scorpion and chili pepper, and bamboo worms. The latest in the island's fashionable organic food scene. Each dish at Ho Lao restaurant costs around $15 US, which is fairly pricey by Taiwan standards. For years, meat was too expensive for many rural Taiwanese, so the local chefs turned to insect-based cuisine as an alternative source of protein. But now the tables have turned and creepy crawly proteins have become a delicacy which is not only nutritional, but is also believed to boost sexual performance.
Of course!
From the point of view of the Chinese medicine, eating worms makes men strong. And it works. The farming village of Lutsao in Xiayi, 260 kilometers southwest of Taipei, has managed to successfully sell insect cuisine to gourmands from all over the island. People in the city eat junk food with lots of fat and chemicals. I suggest they come here and eat something more natural and simple so they will be very healthy. Lin's restaurant specializes in the creepy crawly cuisine. This customer gives Lin's food the thumbs up. I'm not scared. It tastes good. Savory, crispy, and crunchy. Delicious.
So there you go. Any feedback? Should Holden add ant fried rice to the menu?
I think those look like French fries.
Those guys are bamboo worms.
And have too much adverse association with other uses.
Yes. Okay. So, in the West, all of us, including me, sort of have this inbuilt prejudice against eating insects. And where does that come from? I'm going to go through just the different kinds of insects, which are very diverse, eaten across the world, different countries that they're eaten in, give you some input on the nutritional value, and what it really means when we, as Westerners, are imposing our values on other countries and saying, hey, you really shouldn't be eating that. And from a nutritional point of view, the consequences are fairly strong. Insects are a phenomenal nutritional source. So you can look down this list, and right at the bottom we have lean ground beef and broiled fish. And you look across there, in terms of some of the minerals like calcium and iron, insects have huge amounts of calcium. So all of you people worried about osteoporosis, start eating bugs. They're low in carbohydrates, high in proteins, although some of them have more carbohydrate. Anyway, gives you some impression of the fact that they are very nutritional. Commonly eaten insects, similar information on the next table. Commonly eaten insects in Nigeria, termites, crickets, grasshoppers. Both adults and larvae are eaten, and at the bottom here, caterpillars of a lot of different moth species. So when we look at the nutritional value, again, a lot of protein, a little bit of fiber, so on. Vitamin contents in insects, even vitamin C. Vitamin A, vitamin B. These are good, as we would say in Australia, good tucker. These are good food, very good food. Livingston, I presume, visited many different African tribes, and here's an encounter which he describes where he gives a piece of bread and preserved apricots. So this is like the Holden bread and apricot jam, which I have every day. And the chief relishes it much, and he asks him if he had any food equal to that. The chief says, ah, did you ever taste white ants? As I never had, he replied, well, if you had, you never could have desired to eat anything better. Later, Livingston's traveling in Boer country. Now, this is in what is now South Africa, Republic of South Africa. And they suffer from a scarcity of meat, which was especially felt by his children. So the endemic peoples show their sympathy and give them a large kind of caterpillar. We'll see these later in the presentation, called a Mopani worm, which the children relish. Of course, the children haven't got these prejudices. And the natives devour them in large quantities. Livingston, of course, is already a grown-up Englishman, and he's like, yeah, I don't eat bugs. We won't talk about true bugs today. So there's this huge Western reaction towards eating insects. And in the African independence movements in the towns, there's a movement to use caterpillars as an excellent food. However, it's difficult to overcome what the modern enlightened people are teaching in the school system, where the teachers are saying that caterpillars are bad food. And as a result, that, you know, rejecting the food habits of their parents, and it really affects nutrition. These peoples in Africa generally agree the meat of winged termites, which my son Matthew's cat would totally agree with, is better than the meat of animals, birds, and fish. Perhaps one or another of edible caterpillars is comparable, but their opinion is that termites or honey is the best. The issue then becomes that when one civilizes the appetite, what was acceptable changes. And these taboos and the imposition of values of Western value systems has a pretty big effect. Even though the spread of various American fast food outlets has reached mythical proportions, less well documented are the attendant loss in traditional foods, which goes hand in hand with the adoption of imported fare. We can even blame McDonald's here. And poor McDonald's gets blamed for everything. They'll bring out a bug burger. And what happens is that in parts of the world where protein intake is low, insect-derived protein does form a significant part of the local diet. And let's remember that when we take our Western values everywhere. Why do we have a taboo? Why don't we like insects? I believe the real reason is that most of our culture in terms of food came out of the Fertile Crescent. And the Fertile Crescent is all about cereals and large mammals. So sheep and cows and goats and the milk and things which come from them and all the cereals. And farming of those became predictable. And so we had no need to eat insects. Insects are kind of unpredictable, harder to manage. You can't farm and farm them very well. You collect them from the environment. Whereas this is very predictable up to a point. The inconsistency is, and each one of you stood up, I believe, if you came when I at the beginning, the inconsistency is we have no problem whatsoever eating aquatic invertebrates.
Although I should say, this is an interesting little factoid that I learned not too long ago, is that in the late 1700s, in this country, there were laws on the books that said that you were not allowed to feed serfs or slaves lobster more than 3 times a week because it was considered
That's inhuman. True. That's, yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. So just to prove my aquatic insects point, this is a grasshopper leg, and many, if not all, insect legs are sort of derived basically along that shape. Up here is a scorpion leg. Up here are different kinds of crustacean legs. It's more or less the same thing. Yeah, of course, they have flaps and so on so they can move through the water. But I think I've made my point. Okay. Let's go through a little bit of taxonomy. Some of you who were in my talk yesterday, we went through the different insect orders. I'm going to blast through this because the purpose here is not classification. But I just want to give you a general sense of the fact that many, many different kinds of insects are eaten. When we look at the ones which are eaten, size is really important. The bigger the insect, the better. Abundance is critically important. Ease of collection is important. All of this is common sense. Seasonal importance, so that they're around at a time when many other protein sources are not available. And then in some cases, are these organisms amenable to farming? And the term is mini livestock. So bees and wasps, beetles, true bugs, are butterflies and moths, dragonflies, grasshoppers, termites, and flies are the largest groups. They also happen to be the largest groups of insects from a taxonomic point of view. Wasps, you all know what they are. Bees, ants. Quickly, honey. All of you know that honey is simply nectar collected from flowers in the gut of the honeybee, mixed with enzymes, and then deposited within the hive. And there, most of the waters evaporate out, and you get honey. We could also call it bee spit. But that doesn't seem to trouble us. Yes? The golden color comes from the chemicals which are in it and the minerals and maybe a little bit of the pollens from the flowers. Not all honey is golden. Avocado honey, for example, is almost black.
Oh, like just a color.
Yeah, yeah. Importance of honeybees is much more related to pollination. I talked about this a couple of days ago, rather than honey. And then for those of you who were on the hike yesterday, I just threw this slide in because I talked about it a little bit. This is how a bee sees a flower. That's how we see the flower. So the bees see in UV. And in some of these flowers, you can see there are like lines pointing to the middle. They're sort of guides for the bees on how to find their way to the middle of the flower, which is where the nectar is. That's not the reason for this talk. Okay, our first plate of bugs. These are wasp pupae. Large nests, think of a yellow jacket nest, so you can get a lot of protein when you're collecting. And in Japan, you can buy canned wasp pupae or canned bee pupae. When I was at the University of Queensland, we used to have an eating insects day once a year. Couldn't do it more than that because it's so intensive just to get all the materials together. But when the Department of Entomology had an open house, one of the rooms was all these different insect meals. And sauteed bee pupae with butter and garlic is just as good as the cod pasta which we had last week. The flavor is almost the same. Okay, ants. And both in Africa and Australia, there are ants which store honey or nectar in certain workers who get the job to just hang upside down for their whole life. And they get then fed the honey, and these are like candy for the people who collect them. Beetles. Okay, this is one thing which I actually do remember as a kid in Papua New Guinea. When it rained and the scarab beetles came out of the soil, the native Papua New Guineans went absolutely crazy collecting them. And they'd run across the fields at dusk. They'd collect them, put them in their hair because they had really curly hair and the beetles couldn't get out again. And that's how they stored them while they were collecting them. And then they just roasted them on coals. They're really yummy. But most of the beetles which are eaten are not in the adult stage. I'll get you in a second. They're in the larval stage. So these are the large grubs which bore inside wood. A very important food source. Yes, sir. Yes?
I saw one of those beetles before, and it's kind of funny how they were swimming, and I saw green things are goofy that it can fly, but my brother crushed it, but I went to see the...
So it couldn't fly because it got crushed?
Yeah, my brother.
That's really sad. Thanks for sharing. Yes?
Two things. How do they get the pictures from the bee's point of view of like the flowers?
Okay.
And number two, these are both of things we passed. I've seen things where they'll actually take the honey ant, like the ant that makes the honey, and they basically put it on top of vanilla ice cream
Ah, that sounds awesome.
They put the whole thing on.
Do you think we could get enough honey ants and do it down at the snack bar?
I wonder.
The photo's taken with filters. You know, different kinds of optical filters will cut out the light which the bees don't look at, because bees only receive certain wavelengths. So you can put that filter on the front of your camera and you can take the picture that way. Yes?
What's PNG?
Papua New Guinea. Sorry. Yeah. Papua New Guinea. It's just PNG for me because I spent 10 years there as a kid and it's just PNG. It's a big island just north of Australia. And there's many, many, many Lutherans who've been there over the last 100 years, either within the American Lutheran Mission or the German Lutheran Mission or the Australian Lutheran Mission. And some of them probably ate bugs. So let's get back to eating bugs. These guys are the biggest pests of palms worldwide. But in somewhere like Papua New Guinea, they're a major source of protein in the native palms. So it's both a good and a bad. True bugs. So people eat cicadas. And people eat these giant water bugs. Has anyone ever seen these? Yeah. They're about this big. They're really awesome. We've got them in Australia. I've got photos of them from Asia where people eat them.
What size?
About this big. They just grew half an inch. And then, of course, the butterflies. People eat lots of pupae or larvae. Not really so much the adults, because the fat body and the protein is all in the larvae before they liquefy as a pupa and then use all that energy to make the wings of the butterfly. Give me 1 second. So here's a picture of a bowl of pupae. And you can buy canned silkworm pupae in Korea.
Do you just eat it like that, or do you fry it up, or is it cooked?
Probably the same way you do chicken, yeah. You know, 7,000 ways. And the flavor comes from the spices you put with it, just like chicken, which is like cardboard if you don't put anything with it. I'm not a great chicken fan. I apologize to all you chicken fans. Yeah.
But your question is, you know, one of the questions that you keep asking is, well, why do we have this bias against that?
Yeah.
Why do we have this reaction? And just one observation is, so the pupae or the little bamboo worms look somehow much more palatable than the cicada you just showed.
Yeah.
Which has wings, and I'm thinking about, well, shrimp. When you see shrimp in people are always surprised. I'm always surprised, so I'm going to assume everyone is. I'm going to be the lay person here, but people are always surprised when they see shrimp in the water and they see kind of the appendages. Of course, when we get them at the supermarket, we don't see that. And so I think that's a big part of it, is that I think you say insect and we're picturing wings and legs, and in some of the scenes you've already showed, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, anyways, I guess that's probably, I mean, I think part of the bias is the idea of eating identifiable chunks of bug.
Like this?
It's like that fish. What are you seeing? Yeah. You know, or having a pig served with its head on and the apple in its mouth. I mean, that used to be, but not so much anymore.
Yeah. Okay, got one. Yes.
Are those in a chrysalis?
Yep, those are cicada. The cicadas which are crawling out of the ground before they, in the stage before they get the wings. Yeah.
The green ones that you get, are those ones that have the stitch form? Are those ones caterpillars?
Yes. These guys are big caterpillars which are going to turn into moths. Yes.
Are those things caterpillar? Corn on the caterpillar?
Corn on the caterpillar. Very good. Caterpillar on the corn. Did you have a question, Sil? You're fine?
Well, my observation is it seems like you would need to cook a lot of bugs to get a fill, as opposed to us where we have a farm
T-bone
animal
steak.
That could make multiple meals.
Correct.
So
correct.
I just don't understand that part.
Yeah, and that's true. And that's true. And that's part of our whole food culture comes from that Fertile Crescent where you've got all these fields of grain and huge mammals running around, which you slaughter and then eat.
Yeah. Well, I think if you think about it in the food chain, why it takes so much energy to have a cow, where this is just out there, all you have to do is harvest it. So there's really not a whole lot of money or water or grain put into the animal. But you're right, convenience-wise, we're just used to package slab of meat in a plastic bag.
So maybe in 10 years' time, we should go to the farmer's market and be able to get collective caterpillars? Yes.
Are there any issues with cruddiness or things you need to do to prepare bugs to make them safe to eat?
Yeah.
The same way that we have things that we need to consider when we cook larger meats?
For the most part, or just about every picture I will show is of prepared, cooked insects. They're not being eaten raw. So they're either deep fried or tossed in oil or roasted on the coals or something. Insects are not inherently dirty. Filth flies are, because that's their habitat. They're the recyclers of decomposing material. But for the most part, the caterpillar, which is in the middle of the trunk of the tree, chowing down on the wood, is very clean and wants to stay clean, because the microorganisms which cause decay or whatever are going to affect it the same way they're going to affect us. So they really don't want any fungal infection or bacterial infection or whatever. So I think this is the last group, dragonflies. Oh no, one more group, grasshoppers. And grasshoppers, from my reading, are probably eaten worldwide. They're a group which are eaten everywhere.
Look like they should be.
Yeah, that's a locust swarm somewhere in Africa. They're also, I think, God's special insect, because that's what nourished John the Baptist. And when you look at the nutritional value, grasshopper and honey was a pretty good menu. I mean, from a balanced nutritional, he probably should have had some vegetables too, but it was a pretty good deal. He wasn't having a really hard time. Yeah.
Chickens would be in heaven out there.
Chickens would be in heaven out there, as would be my daughter's cat. Termites. Very important, especially in Africa. Now, this is an insect which has a huge colony, and you can go in and collect a lot of protein from that particular colony. Chimpanzees have learnt to use twigs and put them in a hole in a termite colony and get that protein. Humans, you know, do the same thing. This is just an indication of all the tunnels inside that colony when you wash the dirt away. So that's a huge amount of living space. And the colony is structured in many ways from the point of view of airflow the same way that a human lung is. And the air moves around in those tunnels more or less in a similar way. Quickly, for those of you, I always get asked this question, white ants, what are white ants? White ants are termites, they're not ants. But anyway, and flies. I didn't find many records of people eating flies except for these midges, which form massive populations at certain times of year in large inland lakes. So this is Mono Lake, and you can see the line of midges going around the shore. And then they're simply collected and they make a cake out of it. That cake on the other side is not a picture of what was made by the Mono Lake Indians, but it's what's made by some of the peoples around the Great Lakes in Africa. I don't think midges would taste very good, but anyway, that's just my own bias. Other arthropods? Scorpions are huge as a dietary item in Asia. And these are scorpions on a stick, sort of like caterpillars on the corn cob. And then we've got scorpion soup or spider soup. That's actually spider soup on the other side, coming out of Cambodia.
So what happens to the stinger? I mean,
The sting is completely inactivated by the fact that it's cooked. So maybe it gives it a little spice. I don't think so. But these are all dead.
Right,
so
but the poison.
When they're collecting them?
No. Where does the poison go?
The poison is denatured in the cooking process.
Okay.
It's basically broken down. The poison's a protein and it's destroyed when it's cooked.
Good.
Okay, so let's just go around the world. You can see that as we go, these insects are important in deserts, savanna, tropical forest, pretty much every ecosystem where people are living. And they're important in all these different continents as well. Africa, Mopani worms. These are the guys which Livingston was talking about, or the person was saying tastes much better than bread and apricot jam. Other silk moth, Mopani is, we'll get two slides down, I'll show you the picture of Mopani. Termites and then the midges, grasshoppers. Mopani worms are actually a very important economic insect in these countries in sub-Saharan Africa. The nutritional value exceeds that of other sources of protein, such as chicken, of course, milk, and beef. Its energy content is 444 calories per 100 grams. When you look at cooked beef, it's 172 calories, raw chicken, 146, and so on. Mopani clearly plays a vital role in human survival in times of food scarcity. The downside is they don't have a really good way to preserve it. And
you have to eat it when you find it.
So you eat it, but they actually do cook them and preserve them, but they don't have the fridges or the, you know, irradiation to put them in sealed vacuum packed bags or any of that.
So it's no worse than like beef or chicken.
Yes, yeah. It's more a statement of the level of food preservation technology rather than a statement on the quality of the insect as a food. So this is Mopani worm here, rather gorgeous caterpillar. And the moth on the other side, an absolutely beautiful moth.
So were those dried, dehydrated Mopani there?
Yeah, these are the guys which are basically preserved for eating, probably cooked and then dehydrated. Here's a picture of a large pot of these cooking and then them drying on the mat on the right-hand side. These ants are an important food source where were we? Not Nigeria, what was
Africa.
The country? Just Africa in general? Okay, now we come to Nigeria, where locusts are really important. Again, silk moths, the relatives of Mopani and termites. And just a picture of one of the important species of locusts. This came off BBC. They had this little photo documentary from Nigeria. And they actually interviewed these people. This is a farmer's market in Nigeria with each one of these women selling their pot of their particular spicy grasshopper or locust. This guy talks about going out and collecting them. You can see his bag full of grasshoppers over there. And he makes a clear point about he has to wear good boots, because the grasshoppers are spiny, and if he goes barefoot, you know, they hurt his feet. So he has good boots, and he has a light on his hat so that he can see them at nighttime. And he brings in his bag of grasshoppers to his wife, who cooks them and sells them at the stall. And then when he eats them, he says, you know what? It's just like land shrimp. I just call them land shrimp.
Looks like they change color just like Shrimp. I mean, our shrimp is gray.
Yeah. And that might also be part of the chili spices or so on, which they're probably using.
Oh, yeah.
If this is influenced by the beriberi kind of spicing which you get in much of Africa. So termites, beetles, Malawi. Again, we have Mopani worms, a different species at this point in time. And the point is made, the larvae are in season from mid-October to December, a time of the year when food stocks of families in this study area are running low. Cameroon. More caterpillars. You can see by the pen in the middle of that. These are big insects. And these guys, this is what they collected in one night.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's an abundance of insects there, and they go out, they collect them. That feeds a lot of people. More silk moth larvae, different species, on the branch over there, and then these guys have been cooked. Not the branch, the trunk of the tree. These are easy to collect because this particular species, the larvae aggregate on the trunks of the trees. Makes it much easier to collect them. You've probably read this already. In Congo as a whole, the consumption of caterpillars is estimated to be 40% of total animal protein consumed. And then more nutritional value, but I've already convinced you guys to believe that they rot. Asia, all these. India, silk moths, again, not called Mopani in India, but the same more or less taxa of insects. Very important industry for, it's a dual purpose. They collect the silk from the pupae, and it's different from the silk of conventional commercial silkworms. And then the pupae are used as a high protein food product. About 40,000 families in northeastern India are involved in this practice. Vietnam, water bugs. We saw the picture of these guys earlier. And these, I believe, are spiders. Grasshoppers on the far side, and then some kind of a moth larva over here. These are totally looking awesome and delicious. More moth pupae, another kind of a silkworm. These were photographed at the farmer's market in Phnom Tam. I got all of these photos, by the way, off Google and yeah, whatever. I wish I took them myself. I'd love to go around the world in 80 plates of insects. Cambodia, again, silk moth, spiders, crickets. This is an awesome picture. So you can see the different kinds. The giant water bugs here. These are probably some kind of mole cricket. Same thing over here. Those are spiders. And
well, in this context, are these bugs considered an exotic food, or are they
no? These bugs are considered just part of what goes on the table, and they're just one source of protein. And you go to the market and you buy your bugs and you make up your fried rice or soup or whatever.
Are they expensive?
These are all cooked. Yes. Yeah. I don't know if they're expensive or not. I'm sure they're within the means of the people to buy them. I don't know. I really don't know. Yes?
Why don't they call it the bug market?
They could call it the bug market. They could. Yep.
Have you ever tried something like that before?
I've eaten crickets.
And if you have, what do they taste like?
Chicken.
So like you could put them...
No. They taste... They sort of taste more like shrimp, but most of these things have spices and oils added to them when they're cooked. So like any piece of plain, you know, hamburger, when you add your mix to it, you then get the flavor of the mix that you add to it. And it's the same with these guys. The crickets, which I ate in Korea, were basically prepared in some kind of teriyaki, and they were selling them on the sidewalk in the rest areas of the national highway system. Every rest area you went into, there was someone selling teriyaki crickets. So I bought a bag of them the same way you guys might buy a bag of popcorn. And we ate them on the bus. It was fun. This doesn't look too palatable to me, but those are giant mole crickets. Very high fat content.
So why do you say that doesn't look as appetizing?
Because it looks mushy to me.
Okay.
I don't like things which are mushy. But I'm sure it's really tasty because of whatever spices are put on it. Those are spiders. The ones I've had are crunchy, yeah. The adult insects which have the exoskeleton around them are much crunchier than the worms, which have that soft, much more membranous cuticle, which isn't a hardened exoskeleton.
Why don't we eat the exoskeleton of shrimp?
I don't know. I think because it's got a lot of chitosan in it, and chitosan doesn't go very well with the human digestive system. Chitosan is not as high in insects as it is in crustaceans. In insects it's called chitin, and it's a different molecular structure. So Thailand, same actors again. Doesn't that look yummy?
What is the green?
The green is...
Just a green vegetable?
The green, my speculation would be that the green is scallions. Because scallions are used very widely in Asian cooking. But those are moth pupae, and they look yummy. Crunchy and salty, that's right. Giant water bugs, they look yummy too. Not going to agree with me? You can see what the adult looks like when it's alive under the water.
Do you eat the hard part of
it? Absolutely. Munch on in. It's just like, the crunchy hot dogs which you had today. You didn't peel them before you ate them. I think these look probably the most yummy of all, which is why I put it on my title slide.
Are those
rigidity worms? No, those are bamboo worms. They're the caterpillar of a moth which lives inside bamboo.
So you could just get a whole handful of tent caterpillars from trees.
No. You don't want to eat tent caterpillars because tent caterpillars have what are called urticating hairs. And there are chemicals inside the hairs which are hugely irritant to skin surfaces or the inside of your mouth, different kinds of mammals. So stay away from tent caterpillars. They're one of the few I don't recommend.
Yeah, are there just really a few insects that would be dangerous?
Yes, yeah. So those are grasshoppers. And then in Thailand, they also go out. For me, this would be hugely time-consuming. I don't think that I would do it. But they go out and they collect the eggs and the pupae of ants to make a special dish. Now, when I did the entomology course at Holden 2 years ago, on our hike, we actually got into an ant's nest on the other side up on the tailings. And some of us were brave enough to eat them. Kind of fun. But they actually take it to the extent where in Thailand you can buy canned or bottled, canned, whatever, preserved ant eggs. I only have pictures of all these things. I'd love to have a shelf full of all of these.
Well, there's a web address right there. You
can store it online. ThailandUnique.com. And there's a very tasty looking, you know, Asian dish with the caterpillars, and then you can buy barbecue flavor bamboo worms and barbecue flavor silk moth.
I've had barbecue flavored mealworms before.
All right. Very good.
They came like in a little like box like that.
And what did they taste like?
I thought the legs were slightly pokey. But other than that, it was more like eating a very crunchy piece of chicken.
There we go. Everything tastes like chicken. So in Japan, according to Wikipedia, the Japanese still use insects in many recipes. And if you go to a restaurant in Tokyo, the right restaurant, of course, you may find insects on the menu. My Japanese girlfriend tells me she's never eaten insects, and she couldn't find any of them for me in the supermarket, and she really didn't want to talk about it.
She's Americanized.
She's actually only lived in America for 12 months. But, but there are some different names. Boiled wasp larvae. What the Japanese do, and I've not seen anywhere else in the world in my sort of review of this, is they actually have this specialty where, and it's only old men now who do the collecting, because this happens with all the traditional things that as they die out. The old men go into the mountain streams and shake the rocks and use a net to collect all the aquatic invertebrates, which, you know, the trout fishermen or then, you know, try and mimic in their lures, and the trout and other fish eat. And that's supposedly a really, you know, exclusive specialty. So those are wasps, preserved wasp pupae. And then we have soy sauce flavored grasshoppers. There's lots of grasshoppers, and these are actually the rice, they're a rice pest in Japan, a pest of rice production. So they actually collect the grasshoppers out of the rice and cook them up with soy sauce. This is a picture of one of these old men collecting the aquatic invertebrate larvae. Yes?
Why does it have to be old men?
It's old, well, it doesn't have to be. And if younger people wanted to take up, you know, that particular work, I'm sure the old men would be delighted to teach them. It's just with most of these traditional things, as cultures become modern and live on iPods, people don't want to do those kinds of things anymore. And the iPod might get wet.
Can you eat iPods like a 7-Eleven?
So here's some canned, another, now we're in Korea. This is called fishing feed for some reason, salted chrysalis. And I think that's probably an incorrect translation, but you can buy canned chrysalis. Silkworm pupa in seasoned soy. And another couple of pictures from Korea. Then we come to China. What's interesting is in China, they have a trade in edible ant products which exceeds $100 million US per year. Ant fried rice? Anybody? And then there's a picture with some insects in it. Taiwan, you already saw the video at the beginning. And we come to the last large group, my home country, Australia. No big silk moth populations, but there are these goat moths where the larvae bore in wood, beetle larvae, ants, scarab beetles. This is what the adult moth looks like. The caterpillars are huge. And this has become kind of a cool tourist thing in Australia. It's not really a nutritional food thing, but it's an eco-food tourism. And so you can find many websites like this German guy who, you know, went out there in the desert and collected some witchetty grubs and ate them. Witchetty grubs, yes. No questions.
Eat them raw.
Okay. There is one species of moth, these moths are about this big, which annually migrates to high country, and you get millions of these moths in caves and rock faces. And the Aboriginal peoples used to collect them. They actually had the annual cycle where they'd meet, all the different tribes would meet when the moths came together. And you can see the comment on the other side, more than 3 times of fat content than hamburger. So it's an energy dense food for indigenous peoples in cold climates. There's an interesting point here where they talk about the fact that with the loss of the traditional foods and the move to a Western diet, the traditional diets would have protected against obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular diseases, which are all hugely prevalent in westernized Aboriginal communities in Australia. So, Papua New Guinea, more beetles. And then we come to the Americas, and I'm hugely running out of time. US honey really is the big thing. And then of course my aquatic insects, which I sort of have my funny soapbox. Native Americans ate insects. I've got information out of the Sierras, probably the same up here where they would have collected the wood-boring larvae. This was interesting to me, driving grasshoppers into a fiery pit to kill and roast them for food, from 1888. Central America wasps seem to be really important. And leaf cutter ants, and then we come to Mexico. Lots and lots of different kinds of insects eaten in Mexico. These are moth pupae. We have got the Mexican equivalent of a bamboo worm. They look pretty good. I'd probably put some scallions with them like the people in Thailand. These are a particular moth. You can see the adult on the left-hand side. Served up at a restaurant with guacamole there, like we had a couple nights ago in Mexico City. This lady is making insect tacos. She doesn't look really happy. She probably didn't want to be photographed.
Yeah.
And roasted cricket. Doesn't look too different to the Nigerian grasshoppers.
I've had chocolate-covered cricket.
Uh-huh.
Is it good?
I actually thought it tasted like a crunch bar.
See? Here you can buy your to-go bag of crunchy crickets to go and watch the bullfight or whatever else you want to watch. Here we go. Grasshopper tacos in Puerto Vallarta. Ants, wasps. And then, I thought this was pretty interesting. The Chinese are researching adding silkworm pupa powder to the food for astronauts. And he actually goes on to state that you could build a transparent greenhouse on Mars, grow the mulberry for the silkworms and other plants, and that way you could have this protein source. I mean, they're really on it. Chinese are going to Mars on silkworm power. Just sort of a summary. When I look at all of this, the consumption of insects actually is beneficial from the nutritional point of view. It's beneficial for human health. It can decrease starvation or malnutrition, childhood diseases. In areas where you have these long seasons where you don't get a lot of protein and the insects just happen to be there at that point in time. There's a lot of income that these people can derive from collecting and selling them. There are many pictures in this slideshow of all the markets in the world which have those bags of insects which people are buying. And someone mentioned this. I think it was your wife. Insects are very efficient at converting plant material to protein, much more efficient than a big cow. So if you don't own a cow and you can use insects for that. From a conservation point of view, good for the environment, less pesticides than most monoculture, sustainable, they're always going to be there, and it's an appropriate technology. And I'm going to skip my last few slides, because it says more or less the same thing, and just point out that we all have friends in our family who, if we watched them, would tell us immediately that these things are jolly good food. They can't be wrong.
What does that cat mean?
What this means is all cats eat insects. Yeah. It was sort of a joke. It was a little ham-fisted.
My cat blusters. Sometimes.
So, if you have any questions, yes.
Are there people, because of how closely they're related, do people who are allergic to shellfish have reactions to insects, or are there a group of people who are just allergic to insects?
I don't know. I really don't know. I'm not even going to speculate. I'll just leave it at that. I'll try and find out, but I don't know. Yeah?
I'm just looking at this picture up here on the screen, and it kind of reminds me of what happens with my cat Buster at home. Sometimes I'll be like going to sleep, and my feet moves around, and he's lying at the bottom of the bed, and he treats my feet like they're like mice. They're like parts of the sun.
Yep. Yep.
So like he claws my feet.
Yes.
Do all cats eat bugs?
I think pretty much all cats eat bugs, but I'm sure there's an exception to the rule.
Mine
doesn't. Does your cat go outside?
We let her outside sometimes.
Do you watch her when she's outside the whole time?
Yes.
Oh.
She eats grass, but not bugs.
Okay. Any other questions, guys?
Well, are there examples where human consumption of insects has actually depleted problematically any population, or are they just so abundant?
I'm not aware of any example. Most of the Asian cultures which grow rice collect the grasshoppers in the rice fields for food, and that in part is a biological control or a pest control method. But I'm not aware of any real clear examples to answer that question.
So if you have rice and you cover it, you find those little insects in them, you should just cook it and eat them?
I wouldn't.
You should put your rice
Put your rice in a mason jar. But a complete different aside. Any of you who have a problem with pantry moths or Indian meal moth, put your rice in a mason jar or your grains or your birdseed, and take one step further, put a couple of bay leaves in with it. The bay leaves will not affect the flavor of the dried grain or whatever food it is, but the bay leaf has enough fragrance coming off the leaf that it signals to the moth when she's looking for somewhere to lay eggs that this is actually not somewhere I want to lay, because this is a green plant.
Yeah.
This is not a dried plant. It's fabulous. I mean, I sell Indian meal moth traps in my world outside Holden, but all of my customers, I tell them to do that, I seldom see them come back. But it's just a much better way to do it.
But you said don't cook up the
rice. I wouldn't
as well.
Cook up the rice, because the Indian meal moth is a decomposer. I wouldn't eat Indian meal moths. I mean,
okay.
I wouldn't. Or weevils. I know in Papua New Guinea, the Lutheran Church ate weevil-infested rice all the time because that's all they had. But if you can't get rice which doesn't have weevils in it, you eat rice with weevils in it. And you just don't worry about it. Any other questions? It's 7:15, and I know that we have a 7:30 schedule. Yeah?
Oh, I would just, it kind of followed up. Was it safe to assume, like, the photo in Cameroon, they'd collected a large batch of these worms, that they were on a farm crop? They were on something they were trying to get?
More than likely, those worms were actually collected off tree vegetation, savanna vegetation. And there was a comment on one of my slides where the conversion of the traditional landscape to monoculture crops has actually reduced the protein yield because those plants are not there anymore. Yep?
When our pool is dirty, sometimes I go
It's
kind of shallow, and I kick up, and I kick some of the leaves up in it, and huge earthworms come up.
Oh,
with it.
Yeah.
They're like this.
Huge worms.
This long.
Uh-huh. I've never eaten earthworms, and I don't know anything about earthworms, so I'm going to stay off that one. I wouldn't eat them myself.